typical.
Hey guys, how are you doing? Welcome back to the Super Back Row Show.
Me.
Yes.
It's me. It's episode 5.
Yep, where we talk about what we did.
Yeah, hopefully
what
this...
media we've consumed.
Yeah, we just kind of, it's kind of a bull session.
Bull session?
Yeah, bullshit session.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hopefully this one will not be a dumpster fire like our last me.
Hey, these aren't dumpster fires. These are well-crafted entertainment.
Yeah, they're artisan.
Yeah.
They're artisan. Sometimes, you know, when you order, like, an artisan muffin in a bakery, sometimes there's hair in it.
And, you know, and sometimes it's on fire.
Sometimes it's very, very good. But you know that it was made with love.
Yes, yeah, and that's exactly what this episode is. It's nothing but love.
Yeah.
Just love all over.
So,
don't sue us.
I guess I'll start. So,
yep.
The thing that we did recently is that... My wife and I.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't a part of this.
No, you weren't. No. No, this is the stuff we do separately, and then we bring it and we discuss it.
I know, so, yeah. Like, I've had to go out and actually do things so I have stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Now I'm just joking. That's you, Zach.
It forces us to do things, yeah. So, my wife and I watched Gremlins.
Gremlins?
Have you seen Gremlins?
I have? Hang on, is Gremlins the one with the little, like, fuzzy...
the Mogwai, the...
Yeah, the thing that looks like a Furby.
Yes.
Yes. I have seen it, but it's been a long time.
So...
Which one? Did you watch the first one.
Oh, yeah, we just watched the first one. I remember seeing the second one and thinking it was hilarious, but it's because it's more comedy horror than full-on horror.
Horror, yeah. Can I tell you my favorite? Like, I only remember one scene from Gremlins 2, and that's...
Is it the gigantic-breasted nurse gremlin?
God, no.
No? Okay.
I didn't even know that
was... to the wrong places on the internet, I guess.
No, it's when the Furby guy decides to go all Rambo style. He's got, like, a headband on,
and he has,
like, little matches... with a little bow and everything, and he's, like, taking out some gremlins. That's the only thing I remember from it. And then,
Well, so, a lot of people call this a Christmas movie.
Hmm.
It happens at Christmas.
Oh.
This is not a fucking Christmas movie.
Yeah. What do you call tangent. What do you call Nightmare Before Christmas? Is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
I think it came out around Halloween.
Okay.
I mean, we watch it at both seasons.
No, there you go. It's both. It's both.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, Die Hard, I think, kind of counts as a Christmas movie. Gremlins.
So I've never seen any of the Die Hards.
Wait, so you're just going to drop that bomb on me? You've never seen Die Hard.
I've never seen Die Hard, no.
Really?
I have not. I've not seen any of the Indiana Jones or Die Hards.
Have you seen Star Wars?
I have seen Star Wars.
Okay, all right. Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
I have.
How about The Hobbit?
I have seen The Hobbit, yes. I've read all of those books, too. I don't know. I've seen half of Die Hard, but I had to leave.
Was it the first half?
It was the first half.
Okay, so the boring bit.
It was, I had to leave when a body got thrown on Carl Winslow's cop car.
Reginald Bell Johnson, you mean? America's favorite dad?
Sure, I always remember as Carl Winslow from Family Matters.
So in my headcanon, his character is Carl Winslow. I know his name is not Carl Winslow in the movie. Yeah. In my headcanon, he got relocated to Chicago suburbs, and that's where Family Matters picks up.
Yeah.
So it's in his past that he's killed a kid, and he's gonna kill Urkel at some point.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've derailed your entire...
Well, so side note, Family Matters is the shit.
It is the shit.
It is hands down my favorite, like, sitcom.
Yeah, and I really do think that Steve Urkel destroyed that show.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I
think the show would have been a lot better if they toned down that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a thing for a while. Like, I really like that show. A lot of people lump it in with, like, Full House. Full House blows. Sorry, hit me up on the emails if you disagree, but I think they should bring, Netflix should bring back Family Matters.
I think that would have been cool. Yeah. Anyway, so, derailed, you saw Gremlins.
So, Gremlins. Yeah. It's, like, so, you've seen this?
I've seen Gremlins.
So you have seen this.
It's been a long time. I only remember, like, a couple of scenes.
Do you remember, there's a character in there that is super anti-foreign, right? Like, he goes on these long rants about Japanese,
Is it the dad?
No. He's like a neighbor, like, he's a family friend of the main character kid, but, like, he rants about Japanese technology. The whole movie itself, I think, is kind of, like, anti-foreign because...
Huh.
Well, like, all this trouble starts because some white dude buys what is obviously stolen from a, I'm guessing, Chinese merchant. I think he's in Chinatown in New York. The Mogwai is, like, a Christmas present.
Hmm.
And so all that...
Does he know it's alive? Does he know it, or does he think it's like a toy or
no,
something?
No, he knows it's alive, and the guy refuses to sell it to him because he knows that Americans don't give a shit about following rules or anything, so it's just going to lead to a bunch of trouble, and then his grandson, like, he keeps offering him more money, and then this guy's grandkid, like, meets him outside and, like, hands him the thing and, like, takes the money, and it's like...
How much did he pay?
I forget, like a couple $100.
Oh, I mean, still, that's like 19...
Yeah, 1984, like, that's a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
But there's just this constant, like, undertone of, like, Japanese technology's gonna get you.
Chinese.
Well, no, so the Mogwai is owned by a Chinese guy, and then the guy who's ranting about things is very, like, I hate the Japanese, blah, 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 blah.
Huh.
It's just really weird. Like, I know that was a trend at the time from, like, the mid-80s to, like, maybe the mid-90s to be very anti-Japanese and, like, they're taking our jobs and buying up the country.
Yeah.
Really, really weird to see in a movie. Like, that movie does not hold up. It's really fucking dark, too. Like, it... Other than the monsters, the guys...
So what are the rules... I remember, like...
Don't feed it after midnight.
Yeah.
Don't get it wet.
Yeah.
Don't let it get in sunlight.
Oh, so it's like a vampire.
Kind of.
Huh.
I mean, it gets really hurt by it and potentially dies. I think that's one of the multiplications, too. Well, no. No, the sunlight will kill it.
Okay. What actually turns it into a... Does it turn into a gremlin, or does it, like, sprout out gremlins?
They sprout out of him.
Oh.
I can't remember what happens first. I think he eats something after midnight, and the evil ones pop off of him.
Oh, okay. Okay. Huh.
Yeah. I don't really like gremlins.
Really?
So his love interest has this Santa story about why she doesn't like... He's all like, why do you not like Christmas? And she's like, well, when I was a little girl, my dad was going to be Santa Claus in the house. And he disappeared for 3 days. And then we found out he had dressed up in a Santa suit and fallen down the chimney and broke his neck, and then he died, and then they pulled him out of there dressed like Santa.
Dang!
That's, what the fuck?
That's pretty dark.
What the fuck
is going on? I understand why you wouldn't like Christmas.
Yeah, like, I understand totally why you don't like Christmas. Like, and that's...
What, like, sane adult is like, time to go down this chimney to impress my daughter.
I don't know. Well, and so apparently this movie, like, led to the MPAA coming up with the PG-13 rating.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it rated PG?
It's PG.
Oh.
Because at the time it was G, PG, R, and X.
Ah.
Well, no, I think X was replaced with NC-17.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, it's for stuff that's not quite for kids, but not quite R. Like, just... The general tone of this movie is no, like, it's not what you would expect from a PG movie.
Yeah.
The bad guy in it, I think his name is Stripe, because he has this stripe that runs it.
Oh, he has a mohawk, yeah.
He is super smart. He leads the other gremlins into the, like, the community pool to multiple, like, they just dive in and then just...
There's a gajillion of
There's a gajillion of them.
Yeah.
And he also uses a gun at the end.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got
just straight up gun.
Yeah, just a straight up gun. It's also kind of fucked up because you see, like, you see a gremlin shoved in a microwave and it just kind of melts and blows up. Like, it's, the special effects are cool. Yeah. And it's a,
did Jim Henson do the,
I think it was Stan Winston.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Stan. I don't know, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember there was a bit of puppetry in there. The
There's
the gremlins are puppets, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Puppets and animatronics for the larger ones would be my guess. Or for not the large, the puppets for the larger ones and animatronics for like Gizmo.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So yeah, the one scene that I remember from that movie is when all the gremlins are watching Bambi or watching a Disney movie. Is it Bambi? Or is it another Disney movie?
I think it is
Bambi. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I remember from that scene is them in a theater watching a movie and being like, huh, that's weird.
Quentin, I wouldn't be surprised if Quentin Tarantino stole the whole Inglourious Bastards thing from there, because that's what they were trying to do, is blow up the theater.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, like,
I
they're don't creeping remember. Around back behind the screen as they're, like, enjoying all this stuff in the theater, and they're trying to blow up the theater.
How do they solve, like, I is that spoilers if we talk about how
I mean,
they solve
it? It's an old movie. It's I forget, honestly. I fell asleep.
Oh, man. I guess I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to watch it now. No, they,
because
they fix the town basically by killing them all. Because violence saves everything. And
yeah, but didn't they, like,
ransack
a bunch of shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how did they deal with, like, the gremlins broke into my bread store and ate all my bread. Am I going to file a complaint to my insurance?
Well, no. Like, they believe, yeah, they catch them all in the theater and they blow up the theater.
Oh, so that's the end of it.
Well, no. They go to a mall and they fight another few. There's a scene where Gizmo's in, like, a remote control car. And then Stripe has the gun.
What about the theater owner? Like, his theater's now destroyed.
Fuck him, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I want to know if there's a deleted scene where, like, this movie hates on foreigners so hard. I want to know if, like, at the very end, if the theater owner comes out and is like, my livelihood! And he's like, just a racist stereotype of a culture. Like, it would not surprise me if that was cut because someone was just like, okay,
that's way too racist.
That's way too over the top.
I guess who produced this or who,
Steven Spielberg produced it.
Oh, was it
Joe Dante directed it.
Okay. Is it a Universal movie or?
I think it's Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, like I've said, I've seen that movie, but it's been a long, long time. I was probably a kid, and then I saw Gremlins 2, which is more wackier.
It is. It's much better than Gremlins 1.
You would think they would have taken Gizmo away from whoever that family was.
Oh, they do at the end. Oh. Like, the shop owner comes because finally he figures out his grandson stole it and sold it to the fat American dude.
Probably once the, you know, theater exploded, he was like,
Yeah, and then he, like, wanders off down, like, out into the sunset, mm-hmm. and, yeah, which makes me want to watch Gremlins 2, because, like, how does Gizmo come back? Because the shop owner, like, takes him.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the other thing. The dad that's buying this present is just kind of like this failed inventor. And so the house that Gizmo's in for a while with this kid, like, there's all these horrible inventions that, like, don't work.
No.
Because
he's... Sort of like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, that to me kind of lends more credence to the, like, this is just xenophobic, like, rah-rah American propaganda. Because, like, also it came out during the Reagan 80s.
Okay.
And the business, the father of the family is like this do-it-yourself working man who's like pulling himself up.
Yep, and, by the bootstraps.
And yeah, which is a stupid phrase. but yeah, no, like it's just this wholly xenophobic movie that's just, it's better forgotten. Like, don't go out and watch it.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, some of the things I have been watching, I got on this one series. I was talking a little bit to you about it on Netflix. It's called Agresco, which is really cool. It's an anime. It's from the people who created Hello Kitty.
Yeah, Sanrio.
Yeah. So, right now it's only one season. 10 episodes, 15-minute episodes, so which is
2.5 hours?
Yeah, so super easy to binge and watch it. And it's basically telling a story from the perspective of this red panda. So everybody's an animal.
Okay.
It's a female red panda who works at an accounting firm in Japan.
Okay.
So it's sort of a slice of life where she is... dealing with adulthood. Like, it's a story...
So she's, like, a newly minted adult. Like, someone equivalently in their, like, early 20s?
No, I would say probably late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
She's, you know, definitely has a position in this accounting firm.
Yeah.
She knows her co-workers and things along those lines.
Okay.
But she totally hates her job. It's a thing of, like... that 9-to-5 grind, where she's got co-workers who have seniority over her, so they pass her work, more work and stuff like that. Her boss is a misogynistic pig, who's literally a pig. Yeah.
Saw that one coming.
Who basically, like, treats all the female workers as lower than male workers, which I guess is... a bit of a cultural thing in Japan.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, where, like, he gets angry at her because she forgets to serve him tea. Like, he wants her to, get out that teapot, serve the tea.
I'm making the what the fuck face to Stuart right now.
But it's super funny because it does, like, give you a glimpse of the salary woman... lifestyle in Japan.
Yeah.
But the way that she gets out all of her pent-up aggression and anger is she loves doing death metal karaoke, which is awesome.
It's awesome.
And all of her songs are about, like, how bad her job sucks and how she wants to get out of this. And then it just sort of looks at adulthood, like, what we do and things like that. One of the episodes, her friend, who's like a wanderlust, comes in and she wants her to help set up a store that she has, an import store.
Oh.
And she starts, like, fantasizing about, like, working at a little shop, doing imports and stuff like that. Come to find out, it's mainly just a eBay page. that she wouldn't be able to make any money on.
Do you? Oh, okay, so side note, let me sidetrack you for a second. Do you remember when, like, maybe in the mid-2000s, there was actually a viable business model where people could open up a shop to hold things that they were selling on eBay for other people?
Really? No, I didn't know
that. There were tons of stores that opened up doing that. The female loving, Catherine Keener's character in 40-Year-Old Virgin has a shop, store doing
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like in the mid-2000s, that was a thing. Just like you know, cupcake bakeries like, that only sold cupcakes like Gigi's and stuff like that. Those were a big thing like 10 years ago.
I know.
When the economy crashed.
The only thing I know on eBay is a lot of people buy cards. And then they'll, like, have cards in their house and then ship out the cards. Like, playing cards for Magic things. Just because it's easy to ship cards because all you have to do is put it in an envelope.
Yeah, I only used eBay to sell the Walking Dead comics that I have.
It's a bitch. It is a bitch.
People are assholes. Mm-hmm. So, like, this one guy basically held the account standing against me and forced me to give him a discount because when I shipped it to him, even though it was insured and signed for and everything, mm-hmm. he started saying that it was ripped and he refused to send me photos. And I was like, okay, we'll send it back and I'll give you your money back. And he's like, how about you give me a 70% discount or, like... came right out and was like, or I'm going to tank your reputation. And it's like, you
dick. So what did you do?
I mean, I gave him the discount.
Nah, like, that sucks.
I mean, it wasn't a whole lot, but like, it's still frustrating to run into people doing that. So like, I can totally see why those businesses would fold after a while.
Yeah.
Like, people were doing that because, that's a huge sidetrack.
No, I'm sorry. No. Yeah.
so Agretsuko.
Yeah, but it's a really good series. It's a series about adulting, like being an adult. So a lot of people compare like adult cartoons to maybe South Park or other things like that. But this isn't more of like an abstract weird humor. This is more of like these are adult situations that people get into that are very relatable.
Okay.
How do other people deal with those adult situations? Cool. So, you know, she's a big drinker.
Yeah.
She goes out after work, and she works like 10 hours, and she enjoys drinking with her friends.
Yeah.
And then she, one episode, gets like a crush on a guy who's kind of wealthy, like a drunk crush. And she starts like daydreaming about her being a stay-at-home wife. And, like, how great that would be. But then she goes out with him when she's a little bit more sober and realizes, this guy is, like, has nothing in common with me. This guy is basically a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a great series. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix, so if you have Netflix, it's really easy to get to. And it's just... it's interesting situations that you could see yourself getting into, but it's all different types of animals, and it's, again, a slice of life from Japan, which is always a really interesting culture. Yeah. I think that...
So it is set in Japan. It's not set in, like, Sanrio City or something. Okay.
Or, like, Animalville, USA or something like that. Yeah, it's... in Japan, but all the characters are animals. There's no humans whatsoever. And the animal forms don't really play much of a part of things. They act and behave mainly like humans.
How does the animation style hold up? Because, like, the stills that I've seen from it looks like everyone's animated kind of like Funko Pops.
It is.
Like, very minimally.
Again, it's very... since it came from the studio of Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
It's very shaped like that.
Gotcha.
It's, you know, Hello Kitty is very limited in details. So it's very straight, simple. clean lines and things along those lines.
Okay.
So that's a lot of the character designs are very clean. Cool. It's super funny. I think you and your wife would love the
Yeah,
series.
I mean, it's in my queue, which is why, like, those are the stills that, mm-hmm. that I've seen. Is it looks very Funko, but it also looks very, like, clean lines. And
yeah. And again, it's something that's easily bingeable. Just because...
Well, yeah, like 2.5 hours. Like, I mean, that's a movie. That's less than some movies that I watch.
Yeah, yeah. So, I really enjoy it. I highly recommend it. If you enjoy sort of that slice of life adulting. Because I know my adulting experience is super awkward. You think that, like, you hit a certain age and all the knowledge hits you. And you're like, this is how you adult. This is what you do.
Well, it terrifies me now to know that my parents, when they were my age, mm-hmm. Probably had just as little idea yeah. what was going on as I do right now.
Like, yeah. And, yeah, so no one really has the answer.
Yeah.
There's a million different answers to a million different possibilities. And, yeah, a lot of them are dumb or stupid or wrong, but that doesn't mean that we fall into those pitfalls.
Yeah.
So it's really cool just sort of seeing that aspect anime style in Japan, because Japan has really strange cultures, especially in, like, the work environment, still being a woman, because there are definitely still
prejudices
against women in the workplace.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But yeah, it's a great series. Highly recommend. I put that Stuart seal of approval, bam, right on it.
Cool. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. And viewers or listeners should check it out too.
Okay. Yeah, you guys check it out. So I guess the other thing that I've done recently is I read Mindhunter by John Douglas.
Ooh.
It's a true crime.
Okay.
So the show on Netflix is loosely based on this book.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first few people in the FBI, the behavioral analysis team, to come up with profiling serial killers.
Yeah, cool.
Which at the time they called them, originally they called them sequence killers, because there are certain steps that killers take before they actually become people killers, like murderers. But
you got to meet so many prerequisites to become.
Yeah, a lot of it. So a lot of them are like, bedwetting,
killing small animals,
setting fires, inward personality.
Bedwetting.
Bedwetting.
Huh.
My understanding is that's like during childhood, but past the age where you should be wetting the bed.
Yeah.
Like into your teens.
Huh.
And then, you know, they develop profiles that eliminate certain suspects for when they actually start murdering people of like, oh, okay, serial killers tend to not kill outside of their own race as a rule.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, so like if it's a bunch of white people dying, the killer is probably white. Huh. typically it's sexually motivated, like there's some sexual component to it.
Hmm. But the book's good?
Yeah, the book is really good because he basically outlines a bunch of cases that have already been solved.
Yeah. And this is nonfiction.
Yeah, this is nonfiction.
Yeah.
So like Ed Kemper is one of them. He's a killer in California in the 60s. He would abduct he was the co-ed killer. He ended up killing his mom and doing horrible things with her head.
Dang.
When he was 15 though, he killed his grandmother and grandfather.
And no one, like...
Well, he was under 18, and so that record was sealed. He wasn't tried as an adult.
Huh.
He was put into a... He was put into some sort of mental health facility, and then they, like, he figured out how he needed to behave to be released, and so they released him under the care of his mother.
Yeah.
His mother worked on one of the Californian universities, like, mm-hmm. on
campus.
Like, on campus.
Yeah.
And so he had a campus parking sticker when he would take her car, and so he would just pose as a student and kidnap co-eds murder. Yeah.
Oof.
There's another one in there. Like, and I mean, there are tons in there. The Atlanta child killer was one of the cases that this guy worked on.
Huh.
Back in the 70s and 80s.
That was a thing.
There was a baker in Alaska that would basically kidnap prostitutes, turn them out in the wilderness, and then, like, hunt them.
Jeez, people are crazy.
Yeah, BTK was another one that he got. Funnily enough, the reason apparently that they got BTK is that he asked police if they could, or he asked the investigators through mail, or however he was communicating,
mm-hmm.
if they could figure out who he was based on a floppy disk.
Yeah.
And they told him no, and he believed them. And so he sent them stuff through the mail with a floppy disk, and they pulled off where it was from,
yeah.
and then found him through that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so there's a lot of stuff, like, he's pointing out that, like, serial killers will sometimes insert themselves into the case, and so
yeah, well, I mean, because they want that, like, thrill of the chase.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's also like with some of them, there's this narcissistic component of, like, ha-ha, you don't know who you're talking to. So, like,
yeah.
BTK had access to the FBI, or not the FBI, the police station's, like, board of suspects, and, mm-hmm. like, he was not on, but, like, he had access to it. Like, he walked around the office and, like, checked it out.
Checked
it,
yeah.
Like, oh, hey, they have no idea who I am. I'm gonna keep taunting them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I have a morbid fascination with serial killer, like, not, like, unhealthy, because I think most people, if you ask them, you know, Forensic Files exists for a reason. That podcast Serial exists for a reason. Like,
yeah.
People like true crime.
I mean, because it's that curiosity. It's,
yeah.
It's such an extreme that
yeah.
we've never touched that you just kind of curious about, like, how do they think?
Yeah, and
why
I mean,
do they do these certain things? Because there's a lot of patterns, like you were saying.
Yeah, like he points out in the book, like he outlines, like, these are things that are common among these types of serial killers.
Nice.
It's super fascinating because it's interesting to read it and go, like, look at these horrific outcomes, mm-hmm. and then be like, okay, how can we apply a framework to keeping this from happening?
Mm.
Like, it's just really interesting to go through the thought processes that go into someone investigating crimes.
Now, when you were reading about these particular, serial killers, did it make you want to go out on your own and do more research on those particular cases, or did he give you enough sort of information in the book where it satisfied your curiosity?
So he gives gives a lot of information in the book,
mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, he's an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that, I don't know if it's his ghostwriter or if it's actually him who's doing it, but he's kind of insufferable in spaces because he sounds very like, and it was all me. And it's like, there's probably at least two teams of agents plus local police helping.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all you.
You then just sit there and put all the clues together and go,
no, not at all. Like, so, I mean, so that's kind of frustrating reading it.
Yeah.
He, like you said, or like I said earlier, though, like he gives a lot of information
because
I have this fascination with serial killers. There was some stuff in here that I was like, "Yep, I knew that about that one. I knew that about that one."
Oh,
and then there's some, like, with this baker in Alaska. I had no idea that there was some dude kidnapping prostitutes and then putting them in the Alaskan wild and then hunting them down. But yeah. This dude had a wife and, like, five kids.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, I don't know how some of the... Well, and I mean, you know, Dennis Rader, the BTK, had a wife and kids. He was an upstanding member of his church community.
Yeah, I mean, some of them just live, like, separate lives. Like, you have your normal life and then you have that crazy compulsion to... do horrible things.
Be a monster.
how long was the book? Like, I'm assuming it's pretty thick with information.
Probably 300-400 pages.
Okay. And how long did it take you to get through? Was it a pretty fast read for you?
Yeah, I mean, I read fairly quickly, so it took me, you know, less than a week or so to read it.
Yeah, so it kept your attention.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, it drew me in. I give it my seal of approval.
Nice, yeah. If you're always, curious about serial killers, this is, what was the book called again?
Mindhunter by John Douglas.
Nice. Is that a recently new book, or?
No, it came out in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, okay.
Netflix just made a show, David Fincher kind of adapted it. The name of characters. Okay. It's a drama, but it's on Netflix. It's really good. It'll probably be a future regular episode once the second season comes out.
Oh, so we'll have to watch it.
It's really good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I probably don't have as much curiosity in serial killers as you do.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to sort of see people's mindset or their thought process behind weird and crazy things.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that the Mindhunter TV show doesn't focus necessarily... It doesn't focus on the serial killers. It focuses on... It's not John Douglas in the show. They rename him. But his character and the guy that he worked with...
Okay.
Kind of coming up with these standards. Because the way they did it is they interviewed a bunch of prisoners who had been caught already... And so they kind of outlined, okay, this is why this guy acts this way. These are the things that happened that led him to do X, Y, and Z.
Oh, cool.
So it's more of like a workplace drama kind of than it is like a horror movie type thing.
Interesting. Cool.
On Netflix. So it's really interesting. I recommend it if you like that sort of thing.
Nice. Well, again, back to me, it's going to be, I'm going to do two things very quick.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
So the first thing is, I went to a Hearthstone tournament.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you win?
I did not. I did not.
Is it because the bartender tricked you into drinking too much again?
No, the bartender didn't trick me. I just... I had a couple of drinks, and a couple of drinks make me play bad.
What was the name of the tournament? Was it like a local qualifier?
So it was a THQ. It was a tournament qualifier for the Hearthstone main events and stuff like that, which is really cool. It was hosted by my parents' basement, my actual parents' basement, but there's a place here in Atlanta called My Parents' Basement, which is really cool. It's a eatery, but they have, like, a comic book section, a bunch of pinball machines.
I've never been before, but I know a guy that works there.
Yeah,
I need to go.
So they were super nice for hosting. It was a pretty good turnout, probably about, like, 25, 26 people.
Sure.
And there's, I guess, a big Hearthstone Atlanta scene, so a bunch of people came out for that. And you basically bring your own devices, because they don't have, like, computers or anything, so you just hook up on their Wi-Fi, and they'll tell you who you're playing against, and you find them. Because on their UI, they have a section where there are people near your vicinity that you can play against. So they don't have to actually be on your friends list. You can just see how many people in your area are playing Hearthstone, and then you can challenge them.
Cool.
So it was a lot of fun. It was a best 2 out of 3, where you brought in 3 heroes. They would ban one of the heroes, and then you'd play against them. So I brought a bunch of meme decks. Like, they weren't decks that were top tier. They weren't, like, the good decks. They were the decks that were, like, memes, where it's very catchy, like...
Well, now, explain to me what you mean by meme decks.
So, like... they're decks that are, they do one thing, and they do one thing really good.
Okay.
And it's really hard to put together your combo and, like, go off.
Gotcha.
But when you do, it's, yeah. So, people have made, like, a bunch of memes and stuff of these decks. I brought a... People who listen to our podcast, I brought up the fact that Shudderwalk is a ridiculous card, so I brought a Shudderwalk Shaman. It's usually a really slow deck, and it got overrun pretty fast before I could put together the combo. But boy, is it a good deck. I do like it. Not top tier, but it still had fun with it. And then I brought a Quest Priest, where it's a priest. There's particular cards that are quests that you can play. When you complete so many tasks, you get rewarded.
Oh.
Which the priest quest allows you to get this card that sets your health total to 40.
Hmm.
And your health total is usually at 30.
Okay.
And if you go down to like 5 and you play this card, it'll take you from 5 to 40. Yeah.
Jesus.
So you just play a very long game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was playing it against this other guy who had a very long deck too, a mage who was not a freeze mage, basically a Jaina, Lich Jaina, which is a character who basically her power, she can change things into water elementals, who gets her back life. So it's just a life-gaining situation where you're just running out of resources. So we were the last people to actually finish the game. And as we were playing, I was just ordering drinks and eating nachos and making dumb decisions. So unfortunately, I got kicked out of the... or not kicked out, but I lost and I didn't get to play the rest of the tournament. But it was still fun just hanging out with a bunch of people who enjoy Hearthstone. I found out that they play every last Sunday of the month. So any local Atlanta people who want to play some Hearthstone, I recommend going to my parents' basement.
So those aren't tournament qualifiers.
Those aren't tournament qualifiers.
It's just like a magic night at a comic shop.
Yeah, basically.
At this restaurant where, for Hearthstone.
And the person who hosts it, she actually buys like a little... trinkets or shirts and stuff like that. And these tournaments that aren't qualifiers, we all put in like $5, and then whoever wins it gets a trinket or something like that. Like, okay. a prize.
Well, so. I have a question about the tournament. Mm-hmm. So, is this tournament one of the ones that like happens at BlizzCon, or is this a separate tournament class?
No, this happens... This is the qualifier for the qualifier.
Yeah, to get into
Yeah. This, if you won this one, it wasn't like, you got into BlizzCon, congratulations.
No, but I meant like the tournament that this was a qualifier for, is it one of the ones that plays it?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Because whoever won this tournament was able to play in the tournament where they would just play at home. And they would connect up, because... A lot of these tournaments, you can just play at home. All you have to do is, like, know your opponent, friend them, and then play them, and then report your standings and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And so, it was a qualifier for, like, a qualifier to get into BlizzCon.
Cool.
Yeah. So, it was fun just to hang out, play. I will say, next time I go, I maybe won't have so many drinks.
Maybe stop yourself at 3.
Yeah, maybe. their nachos were good. It was fun. It was just fun to go out and play and see, like, meet people in person and just hang out and talk. So, it was cool. second quick thing, I'm only 3 episodes deep in, but Frontier on Netflix is really good.
I've never heard of that. Yeah. What is it about?
So, it's about the fur trade in Canada.
So, oh, I have seen that. Yeah. Okay.
The main character is, I forget his name, but he's a guy from Game of Thrones, and he was Aquaman in...
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. So he is the main character, and you're just seeing, like, all these different people trying to vie for the fur trade in Ontario, or Montreal, or near Montreal. Doing fur trades with, like, Native Americans and things like that, where you have, like, the Americans and the Europeans and the French all trying to vie for this particular fur trade, since fur was big. Yeah. And
how many episodes is it total?
It only has one season. I think the season's 12 episodes.
Okay, so you're a quarter of the way done.
Yeah, they are hour-long episodes. Okay. So, or like 46-minute episodes.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. There's a lot of, like, different subterfuge going on. It does remind me a lot of Game of Thrones, because there's so many different factions trying to move, and there's a lot of lying and deception from different factions.
It's just set in a real-life Great White North instead of...
Because they're, like, they have an introduction of, like, the Scots trying to move in, and it's really cool, and, like, the main thing is, like, people are trying to get good with the Native Americans, since they have, like, the biggest understanding of how to get furs and stuff like that. So,
cool.
It's interesting. I really enjoy it. I'm going to continue the series, but I like it. Not much to say. Acting's great. There is a character who ended up getting over there from Europe. And man, I keep on looking at him. His teeth are all jacked up. And I was like, oh yeah, that's like...
Standard, yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see, like, the steps that they're taking to make this, like, accurate.
Accurate,
yeah. Like, accurate to the time and everything like that, because all the costuming and stuff is really cool. Like, all the furs and stuff, and, even the French that they talk is French-Canadian.
Okay.
Where it's, like, that heavy, accented French, which is really cool.
Okay, cool. I remember seeing it I think it's Netflix original, right?
Yeah, it's a Netflix original.
Yeah, so I remember seeing it in a queue, and I'll have to add it to my list.
Yeah, I recommend it. Like I said, there are hour-long episodes, so it's not something easily bingeable.
Yeah.
It's dedication, and you have to, like, really pay attention, since there's a lot of underhanded dealings, and
it's not something people... you can put on in the background.
You have to, like, know what's happening and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But it's a lot of fun. I'm going to continue it, and I like it. I can't give it my recommendation because I haven't seen it, you know,
all the way through.
But I'm going to continue watching it.
Okay. Now, was it one of the ones that was renewed for a second season, or is this first season it? Do you know?
I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah. But the acting's really good in it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, those were my two quick things.
Okay, cool. Well, so I guess the other thing that we did recently was we rewatched Star Wars Force Awakens.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, as you know, it came out in 2015.
Yeah.
So, I was looking at some numbers for it. Do you realize with their marketing budget, that movie was $481 million budget?
That's a lot. And it made
$2.068 billion with a B.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Yeah, right? And it's good for them. Good for them. You know, the funny thing is, Solo, I heard that it didn't do... the projections that Disney wanted it to do. It was...
Yeah, but it wasn't anyway. I mean, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either. And that's the thing, is a lot of people haven't seen it during its opening week. And, Disney was very disappointed in the numbers that it brought in. It made money. It made money.
Like, they say that, but like that movie's what, a $200 million budget, and it's been out what, a handful of weeks now,
yeah,
and it's what, got 500 or 600 million, I would be willing to bet. At this point, you're looking it up on your phone right now. Yeah. Probably, hopefully.
I mean, or I'm just looking up.
Because that's what you do when we're recording. You just got it on in the background. But no, so one of the things with Force Awakens is that, so Rotten Tomatoes, it's 93%, Cinema Score is an A. Mm. Cinema Score pointed out that women under 25 gave it an A+, and men under 25 gave it a B-.
Yeah. Ah, well.
Which, I like this one. I like Force Awakens. Yeah. I would wholeheartedly give it an A.
29 million.
29 million?
Yeah. Yeah, so Solo is head for disappointing 28 million. So the movie
opening night.
Yeah. Opening weekend.
It didn't make 28 million in its opening weekend. Seriously?
What is that, not good?
No, that's not good. What is its box office right now?
Its box office right now is 84 million.
80? No. Hold on.
Yeah, Solo. A Star Wars Story sets up to lose Disney upwards to $5 million.
Oh, wow. Okay, so budget was $250, and the box office right now is $312 million.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
It's not great.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people haven't gone and seen Solo. I mean, I haven't seen it, and you haven't seen it either. I mean, and we're Star Wars fans, but I hate to say it, but, like, with all the hate and stuff that's going on in, like, the Star Wars fandom, it kind of makes me a little... Well, it makes me disappointed in people, but it embarrasses me as a Star Wars fan. Because you heard about that whole... fiasco over that one actress.
The one that played Rose.
Yeah. How she was getting, like, threats and stuff like that.
Yeah, so...
I know, this is probably not the way you wanted to hear this. This isn't the way I
wanted it to go, but okay.
So, I mean, we don't have to talk about this.
Well, no, so the thing with that is... Because I don't want to talk about Last Jedi, right? Quite yet.
Yeah.
I'm
sure that's going to be a podcast, and yeah, it's going to be like a 2-hour podcast.
Probably.
Because there's opinions.
I mean, I have to admit, like, I wasn't, like, it's, don't get me wrong, it sucks that she got chased off social media. That is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and it makes me embarrassed as a Star Wars fan.
Embarrassing because I don't want chased off.
Yeah, because I don't want to tell people, like, oh, I'm a Star Wars fan, and then they're like, are you, like... A hating Star Wars fan? Are you like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like...
It's embarrassing to me, and it makes me want to go out and tell the other Star Wars fans who are doing this to, like, shut the fuck up and get off of...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Because you're not a representation of what I am. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, to be honest, like, her character in the movie...
It's a character. It's a character.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I
like,
don't positive or negative feelings towards her. Like, from what we saw of her in the movie.
But it's a character. You don't go after a real...
No. Yeah. Well, no, then that's what I'm getting at, is that I don't have strong opinions one way or another on her character. She was just kind of there. You know who you need to blame if you don't like her character? Is the director or the screenwriter. Like, she's an actor. No say in how that's portrayed.
Yeah.
She has no say in what she's actually responding with, because ultimately she's reading lines.
Yeah.
Like,
and then it makes other actors or actresses who are approached for Star Wars things think twice.
Well, like, okay.
Because,
so
like,
Well, to tie this back into Force Awakens, apparently Daisy Ridley did the same thing. Like, she dropped from social media because she was getting so much hatred. Now, that, like, to me, that's 100% misogynistic fans.
Yeah.
Which is why, to tie it back into Force Awakens, men under 25 gave it a B. It's like, okay, you're unhappy because there's a female in the role. Like, fuck you. Like, that's not the right response. And it should, because, you know, like a lot of people had problems with the way Mark Hamill and what is it, Adam Driver were in the last movie, but like, they haven't been chased off social media.
Yeah.
Which, again, leads me to believe 100% misogyny and hateful bullshit. Like,
yeah, and it makes me embarrassed to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, no, it's extremely embarrassing to be like, oh, yeah, no, I like this thing, but
I'm not one
of those assholes. Yeah. Those guys suck.
Yeah.
You know what you do if you really don't like something? Don't watch it.
Yeah.
If you don't like the way the Star Wars thing is going,
don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Like, don't engage with it.
Anyway, so that was a tangent. Sorry. Yeah. So you guys watched. Tangent. You watched the.
So yeah, we watched Force Awakens, mm-hmm. And. A lot of people were online, like, I remember when it came out, complaining about, oh, it doesn't do anything different. I kind of like that it did, like, it fit the formula, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean...
I feel like part of me feels like the reason it is so similar to the original trilogy is Disney had to prove to moviegoers that they could make a Star Wars film that was like the Star Wars when they were growing up rather than the prequels.
Yeah.
Which a lot of fans did not like.
And again,
I know you like them.
I like them.
but a lot of Star Wars fans of the original series really don't like the prequels. Yeah. And I feel like it harkened back to that nostalgic thing, while still doing something different. Like, it's...
Well, I mean, they used a lot of practical effects, you know.
Yeah.
When the prequels came out, that was, like, during the peak of CG.
Yeah.
And that's why it used a lot of CG, because it was at its peak. It was the new thing. And, yeah, it looked shiny and new, but it still added to the story.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they went back to using practical effects, because it shows that they can move towards the originals.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Force Awakens is the best that Star Wars has been in a while.
Yeah.
I know that this is, you know, three years later, but like, yeah, no, I think it's the best that Star Wars has been in a while.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a huge fan of the Revenge of the Sith is okay.
Yeah.
Kind of. Attack of the Clones is pretty cool. Clone Wars is cool. I really don't like Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss with the prequels for me, I guess is what I'm saying. Although the original trilogy is kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, too. And that's the thing, is like, the original trilogy wasn't, like, gangbusters all the time. There were a lot of, like... There were a lot of things in that movie that don't really make sense. And there are some plot holes in the movie that don't make sense. And a lot of people think that the originals were perfect. And Star Wars isn't perfect. There are a lot of things in all of the movies, the prequels, the sequels, the originals, that I would change.
Yeah. Well, and so...
But it doesn't make them bad movies. They're still good movies.
Yeah, so like, of the original trilogy, hands down, my favorite, it's not an unpopular choice, is
Empire. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Empire.
Everybody loves
Empire. Everyone loves Empire. Yeah. I really don't like Return of the Jedi. Try getting a 10-year-old now to watch A New Hope?
Yeah.
Have you seen it in a while? That movie is fucking boring.
It's not great. It's not great. And you know, this is going to hurt me very deeply, but like, so a lot of people are saying, oh, this character wasn't important, or oh, this character wasn't necessary in some of the movies, like A New Hope, or not A New Hope, in Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Well, Boba Fett isn't really, like, a viable character. No. Like, you could remove Boba Fett. Boba Fett is my favorite character, so this is why it hurts. But you could remove Boba Fett from Star Wars and not really lose anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't.
No. You could pretty much remove him.
No, because then Han doesn't get Ninjabba's place in Return of the Jedi. Although,
yes, he does, because Vader's there to get him.
Yeah, but Vader doesn't give him to Jabba.
Yeah, he doesn't give him to Jabba, but still, he could have gone there some other way.
Yeah.
Or it could have taken the vein.
Although, them being in Jabba's palace is just a time suck of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool looking, but it doesn't...
Yeah. So really, there are a lot of extra characters that could be removed from the original that weren't, like, plot-driven, but they're still really cool characters, and that's what makes them interesting, because, like I said, Boba Fett is one of my favorite characters. I'm waiting for the Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then it harks back to Rose, where people are like, Rose wasn't really an important character. Well, she kind of... Yeah, she didn't move the plot forward, but she was an interesting character.
Yeah.
She's like the Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean, again, 100% of the hate for her is misogyny and racism, yeah. I think.
Anyway, so...
So with Force Awakens, another thing that I like that apparently a lot of people were...
You had to bring up Star Wars. You had to bring it up.
Yeah, I know. Well, apparently a lot of... One of the things that when Disney bought Star Wars, the property, a lot of people were complaining about, they're getting rid of the expanded universe, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I read those books when I was a kid. I'm fine. So, them resetting to zero...
I understand why they did that. I understand why they did it.
Because there's
so much... It hurts
a
little bit.
Well, it does. It does. They still have it as legends. Yeah. It's just not canon. So, like, you didn't see people crying... I don't want it to... You didn't see people complaining when Splinter of the Mind's Eye was written out of canon, because that's the book where it was before Luke and Leia are siblings, and so, like, Luke and Leia get kind of steamy in some scenes.
Yeah.
So that wasn't canon. So, like, you didn't see people complaining then. It's just people... And I understand the impulse, because, like, I read those books as a kid. I had fun with them.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Canon can be whatever is in your head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the fun thing with this, to me, is that, yes, I know it's a money grab, because, of course, they spent $7 billion getting it. But, like, so they reset it to reset the expanded universe, which means now you can start over. Like, you
can
start with...
Build other things that they're not, like, basically planted in, well, Luke... Or, you know, Leia and Han have three kids.
Yeah. Because to me, the best part of Star Wars as a property has always been the expanded universe.
Yeah.
The movies are boring.
Yeah.
They're not very well done.
Books are good.
They're fun, and I say that as someone who loves the original. Like,
yeah.
I love A New Hope, like I said, but that's a fucking boring movie to sit and watch.
And again... Canon is whatever you believe.
Yeah.
Like, I still love all of the Boba Fett stuff. Like, I believe that he got out of the Scarlax.
Yeah, but he only got out of it in the expanded universe.
Yes.
The expanded universe makes his character.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but that's still canon to me. Yes, I know it's not, like, canon to other people, but it's canon to me.
Yeah.
And who are you to say what's canon and not canon in my own head?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Disney has every right, I think, to say what's canon because...
Sure.
It's what they're building their IP. The story off
but
of.
That's, but like, that's what Disney's saying. I can...
Right. Yeah, yeah no, you... Yeah, you can say whatever you want is
because
canon.
It's fiction.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's fiction.
It never really happened.
Yeah, yeah. I totally get why they're doing it because they...
They need... Yeah, they a need, story.
They need a solid...
A unique story that hasn't been told.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they need a solid backbone to build the world out again, yeah. Basically. Yeah. Which is interesting. I'm fine with. Yeah. I'm fine with them resetting EU.
I'm fine with that.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
If you are...
Because here's another thing. Like, when Marvel restarts its thing, because Marvel's going to restart its thing...
Yeah.
Does that make everything that happened not canon? So yeah, is Tony Stark not going to be not canon?
Probably.
Yeah, but it's going to be canon to the people. It's going
yeah,
to be
exactly.
It's going to be canon to the people who started at Iron Man and finished is Infinity Wars when they're going to
second part.
Yeah, the second part is pretty much going to be.
I don't know, because there's a sequel to Guardians coming out after Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if they're going to continue the phases or not.
Yeah, but there is going to be a time when they phase out from that universe to a new universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, my...
Canon's whatever you want it to be,
like
personally.
We've talked about this before, but, like, my... The one thing that I do when I watch movies is like go, okay, I would edit this differently, but I don't have a problem with what's being presented necessarily, but like my one criticism with Force Awakens is they need to tone down the Marvel humor.
They do. They do.
Marvel humor, like, and it's more of a problem in Last Jedi.
It is.
But like,
you know, Poe is
the thumbs up that BB-8 gives
I kind of like that. I know.
It's kind of goofy, but like, you know, it's part of the new thing. Like, it's also for a different generation
Star Wars. You forget, they do that a lot with R2-D2 in the prequels, where R2-D2 is kind of like a silly robot with rockets.
I mean, I don't like the prequels either.
Whatever, but still.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
It's not like it's exclusive to... Force Awakens.
No, yeah, it's not exclusive.
There are silly droids that are silly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, if you're one of the people that feel like it's okay to harass real people for your fake properties that you watch, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Leave people alone. Enjoy your things quietly in your little timeout corner. Because you obviously should not interact with others.
That was you, Star Wars. You brought that up.
That was you brought it up.
You brought it up.
I was just talking about Force Awakens.
Come on, you were going to be like, I'm going to bring up the Star Wars topic without Stuart talking about other things.
I was talking about Force Awakens.
Get out of here. Get out of here. All right, I'm going to take it. I'm going to move with it a little bit.
Balls in your court. Now. Okay.
So video games. I've been playing some video games.
Oh, sure.
So just an update on Undertale. Sans won. I'm not going to beat Sans. I'm not. That's it. I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
Nope.
So you're done.
He won. Yeah. I quit. So
really,
that reality is good. Yeah. He's the one who beat me. I'm not going to finish it.
Okay. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Play the game. Play the game and you'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a small thing. Okay. People who've played the game will know what I'm talking about, but
okay.
Yeah, he beat me. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done with
that
game.
You're just like, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
No. I'm out. I'm done. I probably could beat him if I continued.
Okay.
But I don't want to. He wore me down enough. I've put that game on my shelf And I'm not going to go back to it.
You just, like, look at it fondly? You're not going to go back at all?
No, I'm not going to go back to it at all. He's done. I've seen what's happened afterwards. Yeah, I've seen what's happened afterwards. I don't want that.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds like a really well-written game.
It is an extremely well-written game. I recommend it. I played through it twice. Yeah. So this is my last run, and I'm done. He won this character. So in my own headcanon, he's beaten, and
cool.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. I've also started playing David Cage's new game,
Detroit.
Become Human. Oh boy, that's a good game. So David Cage is an interesting developer. I do like a lot of his games, though his games are somewhat broken. Broken in the way of animation broken and sometimes storytelling.
He's a little too ambitious.
He is. But his way of telling a story really works well when you're an android. So I've played Heavy Rain. Have you played Heavy Rain before?
Yeah.
Okay. So in Heavy Rain, one of the mechanics was when you're looking around, these little bubbles would pop up over your head when you're investigating and stuff. And you would click on those bubbles, and you would go and investigate that particular thing. Which is kind of, it was a bit ham-fisted, especially for one of the characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know which character I'm talking about. Not going to say anything else. But, so it didn't really work on, like, actual humans. But you play as only androids in this game. You're not playing as a human character. You're playing as an android character. And it works really well with android characters. Because you have, like, a particular program that you have to follow. You can scan the room. You're very stiff because you're a robot.
Yeah.
So that makes like sense. Stiffness and not fluidness really plays well with this theme of androids.
Okay.
I know he made a statement that he was like, this isn't a game about slavery. It's a game about slavery.
Yes.
Yeah.
How can it not be? Like, all science, all good science fiction is social commentary.
It is.
And that's, like, that's the immediate one that leaps to mind with androids.
With androids.
In service industries.
But the thing is, apparently there was a team around David Cage that kind of reeled him in. And you can tell that from this game, because the game's storytelling is great.
Okay.
I'm only about, I would say, one third of the way through the game. The game's really pretty. It's very pretty.
How long is it?
I'm not sure how long it is. I put in about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, yeah. So it's moderately paced.
Yeah.
Then.
And it's really cool because I guess they took this off of Telltale games where at the end of a scene, it'll show you a bar graph. Or not bar graph, a flow chart of what decisions could have happened.
Cool.
Yeah. So at like some of the scenes, you'll see that there was like 5 outcomes and you got 1 outcome. And the cool thing about about the androids is your character can die, but they can come back. Because they're an android.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there are some replications of it. I don't want to spoil it too much, but
Let's not get into spoilers, because I do want to play that game.
It is good. But so it gives you a flow chart, and then you can also put in and see the percentages, like global percentage of who made the same decision. So it's always interesting when you get like a final scene, and you're like, oh, only 6% got this. Either I did something really good.
Wrong or good.
But the story, I really love this aspect, this, like, thought process of androids.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing is, like, oh, androids are taking our jobs and people, you know, sort of spiraling into unemployment, depression, yeah, things like that. And it's really cool. Just, I'm hooked on the story.
Cool.
It's well-paced. There is a lot of action. And it doesn't feel like it's just a walking simulator. Hmm. It feels like a lot of your choices do have major consequences.
Cool.
And again, that whole, like, flow chart at the end is really cool because you can see, like, things that you've missed. And it helps with its replayability just because you know that there are so many different other options that you could have taken that you would want to replay the game and sort of see how the scene would have played out if you would have went with one decision over the other.
Cool.
So, yeah. It's really nice. I really enjoy it. I think it's one of his better games. Like, I've played Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls.
And Beyond's the one with Ellen Page that
his
design team made a bunch of nude.
It wasn't nude. It was basically she put on the tracking suit, which is skin tight.
No, but I'm saying the design team, didn't they have like a nude scene with her that she was not aware of because she didn't have to record voices or like because they already had her body?
People had hacked into the software and they were able to replicate a nude model of her. Because of all of her...
all of the scans.
The motion cap and stuff like that.
And that's why Ellen Page is never doing video games again. Yeah.
And it put a really, like, bad image on people, like, famous people working in the video game industry, unfortunately. But yeah, Detroit is a really good game.
Okay.
Again, it really works with David Cage's style because it's androids, and it's not actual people.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot more machiney and blocky, and it works well. And the storytelling, like, I feel like they've really reined it in. Nothing magical or weird has happened yet, so...
Good. He always has this bent in his games, I've noticed, where it's just like, here's some random stuff.
Here's some random magic stuff, and it's like,
does that really work like that, David Cage?
But, you know, maybe I'll find, like, halfway through the game, one of the machines will become Neo or something like that. I hope not. I hope not. I'm highly optimistic about this game. Again, I can't give it a seal because I haven't, completed it. But I'll keep you guys updated. I'll definitely let you know when I do finish it on a me. Other than that, just been keeping up with my regular episodes of Hero Academia.
My Hero Academia?
Yeah, which is great. It's the green Naruto, man. It fills my Naruto itch. It's a really good series.
Is it part of Little Witch Academia?
No.
Or is it just a...
It's its own standalone. Okay. It's a... So, the academia part is, if you want to become a superhero, you have to go to, like, the superhero school.
Okay.
And everybody has, like, one mutant power.
Hmm.
Yeah. And this... I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah. But this one kid works hard. He is the Naruto. But he wears green.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good, it's a good shoujin.
Is it based on a manga or is it solely anime?
It's based on a manga.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was a manga first before it was an anime. It's a shoujin jump.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So it's in that vein of like One Piece, Naruto, Yu-Gi-Oh? I think Yu-Gi-Oh was a shoujin jump. Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
I thought Yu-Gi-Oh, oh no, is it Digimon that was the American copycat of Pokemon?
Shrug?
Oh.
I don't know. So yeah, I got into Megaloboxing, which is super cool. Megaloboxing is a boxing anime.
Oh.
But the way that they animated it, they downgraded their animation. So it looks a lot like Cowboy Bebop, where it's that gritty animation.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's like a 90s anime. Huh. Where it's not, so they didn't do, like, HD or anything like that. It's slightly downgraded.
That's really cool.
Where it's, like, thicker lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been really liking that. It's a, it's basically a boxing anime, but it's in the future. So they're like, how can we make boxing more deadly? We'll strap mechanical, like, exo-arms on people, and we'll make them punch that. So all they have, like, they don't have an exo-suit.
They just have the arms.
They have the arms and, like, a battery pack on their back. And that's it. Like, it's bare face, but you're getting punched with a robot hand.
So, first blow landed kills you.
Yeah, it's a lot of just, like, first blows.
So it's a duel, then. It's not necessarily boxing. It's but just it's a in a boxing ring. With robot arms.
They also have, you know, boxing gloves, though I don't think the padding would really...
Okay. God, I love Japan.
Yeah, so, but it's a really good series. I've been watching that. Yeah, that's been pretty much keeping me busy over... Over this. I think so, that's it for me.
Well then, so I'll finish up and not end on a contentious note.
Hey, I didn't end on
two, topic. Yeah, yeah.
It's
so
like boxing is
two questions for you.
Yes. Questions.
Which do you prefer? Mochi or red bean paste?
Mochi.
Mochi, you don't like red bean paste?
No, because I had this one experience when I traveled to Japan, and I'm sure this is going to be a podcast of me telling about all the adventures I had in Japan. But I went to Japan, and I was super hungry.
Okay.
I went to a donut place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought I was getting a donut with chocolate-filled donut.
Oh, no.
I was expecting chocolate. So when I ate the donut, it was red bean paste, which was not what I expected. So it lasted, or it gave me a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And whenever I eat red bean paste, I always think back to the horrible trick Japan put on me.
Oh, no.
I mean, it wasn't their trick. I was being a stupid gaijin, thinking like, ah, this is a donut filled with chocolate.
But it wasn't. Oh, okay, so yeah. I can see why you would not like red bean paste. Like, I like it in small doses.
Yeah.
Like, with a bite of it. But, like, I couldn't eat a donut filled with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very acquired taste.
It is. And especially, like, I never had it before. I was expecting something different.
Yep.
And, you know, when I bit into it, I took a good, healthy bite. And it just... It gave me a lasting taste that I still have not gotten over.
Yeah.
Where I like mochi, where it's like ice cream. Who doesn't like ice cream?
Oh, I love mochi. I definitely prefer mochi. Mm-hmm. There's a dessert called, I think it's called Daifuku, that's basically ice cream wrapped with mochi.
Oh.
Or mochi.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
I bet it would be
so
good.
So good.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other question was milk pudding or melon bread?
Oh, God. I love melon bread.
Really? See, I prefer milk pudding.
Yeah. It's, again, you know,
yeah.
When I was in Japan.
Melon bread's good.
Bread is good. The first time I had melon bread was there was a vendor who was actually making it off of a skillet.
Wow.
So it was like legit melon bread. It was the best melon bread I've ever had. I've tried to find places here that have melon bread. I found some, but they weren't as good as like the freshly baked melon bread from
make it fresh off the griddle as you order it. So,
and the thing was like you could put things in the melon bread as he was cooking it, and it was great. So I have, again, this impression of melon bread. When I try to eat melon bread around here, it never lives up to the expectation. But I still remember that expectation in Japan, eating it from, like, a vendor.
So...
Why do you ask these questions?
Because we were at H Mart and picked up some snacks. And I saw some on the shelf, and I was like, I'm going to ask Stuart, because he's the other person that I know that definitely has feelings on Japanese
food. I do. I love Japanese food.
So yeah, like the Japanese have an interest, like not culturally, but I guess like now, like with like snacks and stuff, mm-hmm. like there seems to be this like trend of melon, like the green melon, the sweet
yeah
stuff, flavored stuff. I found these cookies that I meant to bring,
huh?
So you could have some, but
because so you know everybody loves people eating on podcasts.
Well, not on podcasts.
Oh, I would totally eat it like right in front of the mic. I'd be like, rah, 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 rah.
So, okay, so this description will make it sound gross, but it is delicious. So you know how Oreo is like cookie, cream cookie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now imagine an Oreo, but instead of the cookie, mm-hmm. they used Ritz crackers. And okay. instead of the Oreo cream, they used green melon.
I've actually had that before. Stuff.
Yeah, you have?
Yeah.
It's good, right?
It's good.
So good. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it doesn't, very appetizing.
The thing is the Ritz crackers that get you. Because they're like crunchy. And they're
crunchy. They're yeah. not sweet. They're not. They're
kind of salty a little. Neutral tasting, yeah.
kind of salty.
Yeah, but it goes well with the melon.
Oh my God. Like yeah. it. Yeah.
It's good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that was the last thing for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, this ran a little.
This was not a dumpster fire.
Yay! Unless it was, and you can write us at backrowsupershow@gmail.com and yep. let us know on a scale of one to dumpster fire what this was.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're also doing a giveaway of some super secret stuff.
Giveaway.
On Facebook, go to Backrow Super Show. I'll share it on my personal profile, but we're just doing a bracket of yeah. interesting characters. So
in fights, who would win in a particular fight?
Yeah, or which do you prefer? However you want to do it. Yeah. It's basically a nerd fight. Just don't get nasty with each other.
Please don't.
We will boot people if they're being assholes. But yeah, just like, follow our page.
Yeah.
We
can send out like maybe some mochi ice cream. We'll mail that to you. And it'll be,
a puddle of corn syrup.
That's what you win.
That's what you win. A big mess in your mailbox.
No. It's going to be cool. What we're going to mail off will be cool.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely check that out. Vote. We're always interested for feedback or what people think is cool. It does also help us to, like, pick out topics and stuff like that.
Yeah, because if people don't want to hear us fighting over what assholes Star Wars fans can be.
Yeah, no, or if, like, people are tired of me talking about so many video games. But I love video games.
If that's their feedback, then I don't think that this is the podcast for them to listen to, because I also talk about video games. And
I want you guys to talk more about dolphins. Why haven't you talked about dolphins yet?
Why haven't we talked about
because they're rapists.
There was this show in the early 90s called SeaQuest, and there was a dolphin character in it. There's also Johnny Mnemonic, and there was a psychic dolphin in it. Spoilers for that shitty movie.
I played Echo. Echo the Dolphin.
Echo the Dolphin, that was a hard-ass game.
It was. It was so sad when when you made him, but when Echo drowned, the noises that he made. Yeah. It's equivalent to Sonic drowning.
Yeah, that game was scary too. Okay, yeah. So that was Dolphin Talk.
There you go. So I threw in a little bit of Sonic for the Sonic fans.
Yeah,
because you gotta go fast. Gotta go fast.
Gotta go real fast.
So this wasn't a dumpster fire.
No, this was not a dumpster fire until the end. Follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Write to us.
We'll see you guys
next week. See you guys. Bye.